All right, we're with CJ Kilmer doing the mudslide round. And for those of you who aren't in the know, if you want to know why it's a mudslide round, just listen to the one we did with Doc Dixon and you'll understand. So here's how this works, CJ. We're going to ask a series of quick questions and you will provide answers as quickly or slowly as you choose.
Okay.
Right, you ready? Number one, if you could eliminate just one governmental department, what would it be?
Oh, man. This is...
It's hard because you want to eliminate all of them. I understand this.
Yeah, and I definitely have some that I think are worse than others. And so, you know, I definitely... Like the department that builds the roads and bridges, like I probably would save that one towards the end.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, or the federal air traffic controllers, like, you know, probably need those until we have a suitable right. substitute. But, it's tough. It's tough. I'm down to the CIA and the Fed.
That's pretty close to where I always come down between the DOD and the Fed.
Yeah, and the reason, and I'm no fan of the DOD, but the reason I put the CIA maybe a little bit above them is because I believe that the CIA has more of an influence even than the DOD when it comes to manipulating American opinion. Even setting aside all the horrible things they do around the world and have, you know, for 70 odd years or whatever. I think it's their 75th anniversary. Yeah, the National Security Act of 1947 created the CIA. So it's 75 years this year. They're the ones that have done the most, I believe, to intervene in American domestic politics and all that. Not to say the FBI hasn't done that too. On the other hand, you got the Fed, which is sort of like the financial enabler of the empire.
Exactly.
I don't know. I guess I'll say CIA, just because I think if you eliminated the CIA, that you would take a giant bite out of propaganda in the U.S. and you would save, you know, all people around the world from getting killed and tortured, and regimes around the world from getting overthrown, which, you know, no fan of regimes, but sometimes you go into a place and overthrow their government from outside, even if the government you're overthrowing is bad. Sometimes overthrowing it makes things worse.
Right. Iraq.
So yeah, exactly. Or Iran in the '50s you know, Guatemala in the '50s or dozens of others. So yeah, I'm going to go with CIA.
I like it. And
if you ask me again tomorrow, I might say the Fed. If you ask me again next week, I might say something else, but yeah, I'll go with CIA.
Yeah. It's a good one. I like it. Murray Rothbard said, everybody is allowed basically one exception to their principles. What is your most unlibertarian view?
That's tough. Well,
and mine involves arresting people driving too fast or driving slow in the left-hand lane.
I'm very sympathetic to that. I've actually thought of that before. I think the way the Germans run the Autobahn is more sensible. I've never been to Germany. I've never driven on the Autobahn, but my understanding is that on the Autobahn, you won't get a ticket or anything for driving super fast, but you will for things like driving slow in the left lane and whatever.
So
I think that's the case where the Germans are onto something. I'll go with a different one though. And this is again, my bias as a Florida man. I'm a huge fan of the Florida State Park system. So, you know, if I was anarchistically rolling back all the departments of the Florida state government one by one, the last one I would roll back is the state park system, because I think it's actually pretty good and I enjoy going to state parks.
That's a really good one.
If they set up a voluntary thing where, you know, I get an annual park pass for my family every year.
Yeah.
But if it was somehow privatized into like one, you know, organization that controlled all the parks and maybe you had to pay a bit more, I'd pay double what I pay every year for a state park membership. So yeah, Florida state park system.
Love it. Yeah. We go to the Honeymoon Island State Park almost on a weekly basis because it's nice beach, you know, first off, and hiking trails and the whole lot of it. So yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah. I've not been to that one.
No, it's a nice one. Cake or pie?
Pie.
Pickup truck or sports car? I know the answer to this one.
Pickup truck.
Yeah. You actually talked about this on your episode about doing your podcast from the car.
Yeah. My first vehicle was a truck, and I've been in various cars for 20 years now, and I'm I'm itching to get back into a truck now that I no longer have to commute 400 miles a week.
Right. So. Okay. I know the answer to this one too, as a Florida man. Mountains or beach?
I'm actually going to go with mountains.
That's what I figured you'd say.
Yeah.
Most Florida people are like, oh, you got beach everywhere. I don't even
yeah. Know. Grass is always greener, right? And you know, people who live in the Rockies or whatever, I'm sure they're the other way around.
Yeah. But. I'm a beach guy because I came from Kentucky. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, mountains.
Mountain guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Cat, dog, or no damn animals in the house, or snakes, I guess.
Yeah. My answer would be snakes. You know, I appreciate a good dog, but, and you know, we had dogs growing up, but yeah, I don't have the same fascination with dogs that I have with snakes for some reason.
See, and I don't get it. I'm absent. This is what I was going to tell you. I'm absolutely horrified of snakes. Like, it's borderline phobic.
Yeah, lots of people are.
Like, it creeps me out looking at the pictures you post of your snakes on Facebook. They're beautiful, but you.
Yeah, I mean, that's a common phobia. My phobias are weird. Most of my phobias are very uncommon. So I'm not scared of snakes.
Yeah,
I'm not obviously. Scared of spiders. I'm not scared of, like, I don't know, alligators and things like that. But my fears are, well, one of them is fairly common. I do have a fear of heights.
Yeah.
And, other than that, I've got a few others. One that is just completely irrational is I have a phobia with the little brown anole lizards that are really? Everywhere in Florida.
Love yeah. Them. That's funny. Cause I hate snakes. Love the anoles.
Yeah. I'm the other way around. And I don't know what it is because rationally I know they cannot possibly hurt me.
Right.
But there's just something about them and the way they look and the way they move that I get, you know, very uncomfortable if they're too close to me. Yeah.
I'm convinced they would kill you if they could.
Yeah, probably. And, you know, the other thing is I don't have phobias of, like, larger lizards. I have no problem. When I was a kid, I had a bearded dragon as a pet. I had a monitor lizard as a pet. I'm not particularly phobic of like gators and crocs. So yeah, none of it makes any sense that I'm not scared of larger lizards, even ones that could actually hurt me, but I'm phobic about those little ones. Yeah.
But that's what phobia is. It's irrational.
Yeah.
Because I know in my head, I really shouldn't be. I mean, obviously there is reason to fear some snakes that are venomous and they can kill you, but by and large, snakes are harmless and even beneficial, but that just doesn't compute in my head. So,
yep.
All right. Would you, I know the answer to this one too, because you're a Florida man. Would you rather be too hot or too cold?
Too cold.
Yep. Most Florida people, even though they bitch about the heat, they don't want to be cold.
So. Yeah, it doesn't bother me. And, you know, if I was a single guy with no kids and no other, you know, it didn't have a bunch of family in Florida and hadn't also been tied to a job in Florida for all these years, and had no other things tying me down and whatever, I'd want to be somewhere like Western Montana or something like that.
Yeah.
That's where I would be.
So yeah, are you going to escape when you get the kids out of the house and whatnot?
Yeah, we might. We'll see. I don't want to be too far away from my kids. And
right.
You know, so if they end up staying in Florida, I don't want to be on the other side of the country, but, you know, maybe something like go back to East Tennessee,
right.
Where I went to graduate school, that might be a good compromise. Get four seasons.
I was going to mention that and I got sidetracked. And when you said that, I did not realize that you were a Vol.
Yeah.
And I find this a little bit disturbing as a Kentucky Wildcat.
Yeah. Well, if it's any consolation, I don't really follow, sports of any type. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Although I did temporarily when I was there, just cause I got kind of swept up in the town spirit and I lived, not far. I live just a little ways across the river from Neyland Stadium. And so on game day, when Tennessee would get a touchdown, you know, they fire off the cannon and play Rocky Top. And I was close enough that when they fired off the cannon, it would make the windows of my little rental house rattle.
Yeah.
So it was pretty exciting. But yeah, once I left there for a year or two, I stopped following it.
Yeah, it is quite the thing. It's like in Kentucky, if you live in Lexington, where I grew up, I mean, you don't have to be a fan, but you have to at least follow basketball or you're not going to be able to converse with like 90% of your neighbors. So. Who is your favorite musician? Can be group or individual.
Oh, that's tough. That's tough. Yeah, I've got so many. I've been playing guitar since I was like 12, and I'm interested in a wide variety. I have one of the most probably diverse musical libraries of anybody. About the only kind of music I can't get into is jazz, but almost everything else I'm a fan of, at least some people in it.
I'm the same, but I love jazz. I just can't get into the rap and the hip hop.
I can get into some of it.
Yeah,
I can get into some of it. I would say that's probably one of the things I have the least of in my playlist, but I do have some.
I'm a sax player, so I have to like jazz just as a rule.
Yeah, I just never quite got it.
Yeah.
Although I do like some of the like rockabilly stuff with a little bit of a jazz influence to it. I can get into that, but like actual jazz, I just don't quite get.
Yeah.
But that's tough. That's tough. I would have to say, all things considered, probably Brian Setzer.
Okay.
Speaking of jazzy rockabilly.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah, I've been a fan of his since I was a kid in the 90s and I first discovered the Stray Cats.
Yeah.
And you know, one of my two electric guitars that I have these days is a Gretsch.
Nice.
And you know, definitely Setzer influence there. And I like to play, you know, I would never say I'm as good as him, but I can do a pretty good poor man's impression of that sort of style of jazzy rockabilly playing.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. That's good. And that can be, that's one of those things that if you ask me that question, it's subject to change on a daily basis as well.
Yeah. I mean, but I also love Jimi Hendrix. I also love Randy Rhoads. I mean, there's so many, and even just setting aside guitarists, like there's, you know, various singers I'm a big fan of and whatever. Right. So yeah, that's a tough one for a music person.
I'm a big 80s new wave guy. So that's probably my like top genre niche. So you get like to The Cure, Depeche Mode, New Order.
Yeah, I definitely can appreciate some of that stuff. I've definitely got some of that in my library too.
I've gotten into house music over the last couple of years, and partly because it combines my love for electronica and I can put saxophone in it. So
cool.
Yeah. All right. Last one. This is going to be hard for you too, I know. Best book you've ever read.
Ooh, fiction or non?
Either.
Ooh. Man. That's really tough.
It's worse than the music, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, it would also be, you know, favorite movie. Like I can give you my top 5 or 10, but I couldn't rank order them.
Right.
Well, and this is another one. If you ask me tomorrow, I might give a different answer. But this is one I really love. And I think it's a fiction book with a lot of libertarian themes that I think deserves to be more popular and well-known amongst libertarians. And it's a great novel, just even setting that all aside. You know, there's a lot of like libertarian novels that are terrible as novels.
Yes.
I've never been a fan of Ayn Rand's novels. I know that might be an unpopular
stance, I get that. But I mean, I think... I can appreciate them for what they are, but they're not great novels.
Yeah, I think she was actually a better nonfiction writer than a fiction writer. But Santiago by Mike Resnick. And not just not because... And he just died, I think, a year or two ago. And I actually had him on my podcast.
Oh, cool.
Back in 2017 or something. And I had done a review with a buddy of mine who at the time was doing a podcast that has since been retired from podcasting. And we did a review discussion episode on Santiago, which he had not read prior to that. And I recommended it to him. And so the cool part was, we did that episode where we were just discussing and reviewing the novel Santiago. And then shortly after we put that episode out, somebody on Facebook messaged me and basically said, "Hey, I happen to know Mike Resnick, who's a very prolific sci-fi author that I'm a big fan of." Mm-hmm. He's like, "I happen to know Mike Resnick. Do you want me to put you in touch with him?"
Yeah.
And maybe he talked to you. I was like, "Yeah, I've read like a dozen of his books. I'm a huge fan." So yeah, that was one of the kind of early highlights of my podcast, was getting to actually talk to him. But Santiago is a real cool book. It's basically kind of a pulpy space western, which I'm a big fan of space western stuff. And but it's got these libertarian themes, but it's not like bludgeoning you over the head with it,
right?
Like an Ayn Rand novel. It's worked organically into the story, which is how I like it when it comes to themes.
Absolutely.
This is why I hate all the woke stuff, because it's so like ham-fisted and didactic.
I know, it's
and
contrived. Bludgeoning.
Yeah, it's so just fake feeling. You could tell that the ideology comes first, and character and stories are like fourth or fifth on their list. You know,
this is trickled into commercials. So my wife and I were just having this discussion the other day. You know, we're an interracial couple, and we're both sick of seeing interracial couples on commercials. It's like every commercial has an interracial couple in it. That's not life. You know, it's not like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's ham-fisted and contrived. And my wife will joke. She goes, "Why you got the random white person with this black family? There ain't a white person there." You know?
Yeah, yeah. And it's also silly sometimes when they'll like show their kids and you're like, really? That doesn't even look like those kids came from those two people blended together.
Exactly.
Doesn't even add up. But Santiago is a great... I think Mike Resnick is a guy, you know, who's got his kind of like conservative to libertarian point of view, but... He doesn't start with that,
right?
You know, I think he wants to write cool stories with cool characters,
right?
And then his world
flows in,
works its way in. But yeah, it's not bludgeoning you over the head. And I think lots of people who aren't libertarian at all could read Santiago and still, you know, think it's a great, you know, sci-fi story. So yeah, Santiago by Mike Resnick, that would be my recommendation and my number one favorite book as of right now, anyway.
All right, I'm going to put that on my reading list. I was looking for something in the fiction realm to read. So,
yeah, it deserves to be much better known in our sorts of circles, I think.
Yeah. All right, well, that is all of... See, this is why it's called the mudslide round, because there ain't no way this is ever going to be a lightning round unless I'm really somebody really boring on as a guest.
So. Yeah, and I'm one of those people, you know, maybe not quite as much as somebody like Scott Horton, but I'm one of those people, like, you ask me a simple question, and next thing you know, I'm halfway through a dissertation on it.
Right. So. Well, see, that's as an interviewer, that's what I want. The worst thing in the world is interviewing somebody when you're trying to pull something out of them. And this, from this episode, we got exactly what I wanted, which I didn't know what I wanted, but we discussed some kind of meaty topics within the umbrella of kind of what you do. And so that makes for the best episodes, I think.
Yep. Cool. Well, I'm glad it met with the expectations you didn't have.
That's right. All right. Well, that's the end of the mudslide round.